Mary Peters announces an agreement on measures to fight airline delays. Aspen Avionics resets for deliveries by the end of March. And Spirit AeroSystems will not be buying four Airbus plants. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, December 20th, 2007. U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters announced on Wednesday a series of measures to reduce airline delays over the holiday season and new actions designed to reduce congestion in the New York area starting next summer. Quote, "These new measures will cut delays, protect consumer choice, support New York's economy, and allow for new flights as we bring new capacity online," unquote. Included are an agreement to cap hourly operations at JFK International Airport, hourly limits at Newark, and capacity improvements for the region. The changes were based on input from airlines, airports, and consumer advocates. The JFK cap allows 82 or 83 flights per hour, depending on the time of day, from March 15th next year through the end of 2009. There can actually be 50 more flights per day than last summer, but more reasonably spaced. Peters has directed the FAA to negotiate hourly caps at Newark International to keep airlines from simply shifting flights there from JFK. Effective immediately, new takeoff patterns at Newark and Philadelphia International Airport allow aircraft to fan out after takeoff and provide more options for aircraft waiting to depart. Peters also authorized the appointment of an aviation czar to direct a new New York integration office. The czar will coordinate regional airspace issues and all projects and initiatives addressing problems of congestion and delays in New York. As operational improvements increase capacity at area airports, new slots will be leased to airlines, with the revenue being used for airspace and airport improvements in the region. Based on experience over the Thanksgiving holiday, Peters also said the FAA and Defense Department will open military airspace to commercial flights over the Atlantic seaboard from the evening of December 21st to the morning of December 26th for Christmas travel, and from the evening of December 28th to the morning of January 2nd for New Year's. Western military airspace will be open from December 21st to the morning of January 2nd to help accommodate flights in and out of Southern California. There's more detail on all this in the print version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. Secretary Peters also seized the opportunity to pitch Congress on a holdover issue from the last fiscal year regarding FAA reauthorization legislation with user fees, quote, "By eliminating this single delay, Congress can help end aviation gridlock, expand aviation capacity, and keep our skies safe," unquote. Aspen Avionics Marketing VP Doug Kane broke the news in a letter to customers. Aspen's much-anticipated Evolution EFD-1000 electronic flight display has run into delays with FAA certification and will not be out by the end of this year, as had been hoped. Kane says the company has a high degree of confidence in its new timetable, which calls for shipments to begin by the end of the first quarter of 2008. He adds that the initial approved model list will include Class 1 and Class 2 airplanes, encompassing more than 600 individual makes and models under 6,000 pounds gross. Bigger planes are expected to be added later in 2008. On Wednesday, the board of Airbus parent Eads chose three European companies as the preferred bidders for six manufacturing sites, contrary to a German newspaper report that U.S.-based Spirit AeroSystems was likely to be awarded four sites. The Associated Press reports the winners instead were France's Latécoère SA, Germany's MT Aerospace AG, and Britain's GKN PLC. Airbus spokesman Stefan Schaffrath explained, quote, "The three partners had better offers commercially and technically, were more aggressive than Spirit in the last round of negotiations," unquote. Terms still need to be worked out. Eads says it hopes to make substantial progress during the first quarter of 2008. Space Exploration Technologies Corporation, a.k.a. SpaceX, told ANN on Wednesday it's completed the systems requirement review for a third Falcon 9 Dragon demonstration flight under NASA's Commercial Orbital Transportation Services program. NASA representatives attended the event, held on the first day of regular business operations at SpaceX's new headquarters in Hawthorne, California. Under COTS, SpaceX will conduct three flights, demonstrating its ability to approach, berth, and ultimately deliver cargo to the International Space Station, and return cargo to Earth. On this third demonstration, the Dragon spacecraft will approach the ISS and hold its position nearby. Then, according to the SpaceX plan, a robotic arm on the station will capture Dragon and guide it to a berthing port on the Harmony module. CEO Elon Musk says, quote, "By providing commercial delivery services to orbit, SpaceX will transform the way government and private entities access space. The Falcon 9 Dragon system will ensure that there is no gap in U.S. space transportation capabilities following retirement of the space shuttle in 2010, unquote. Up next on ANN, Mitsubishi and Honeywell are sued by a former MU-2 operator. Lockheed rolls out the F-35B. And starting a low-cost airline is really expensive. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher-performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 20th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The operator of a Mitsubishi MU-2 involved in a fatal accident has sued the plane maker, alleging it knew the turboprop twin was uncontrollable if an engine failed in takeoff configuration. The suit also alleges that engine maker Honeywell International knew of a potential problem with the MU-2's engines, but did not require modifications. Two pilots were lost shortly after takeoff from Terrence, British Columbia, on December 20, 2005. Both were employees of the former NAVAIR charter, which had its operating license pulled by Transport Canada shortly after the accident. A recent report by Canada's Transport Safety Board, cited by the Canadian press, placed partial blame for the accident on the loss of an engine on takeoff. Quote, "During the takeoff, the left engine combustion chamber plenum split open due to a fatigue crack. The rupture was so extensive that the engine flamed out," unquote. TSB investigators also noted 60 similar reports over a 30-year period. Honeywell changed the component design in 1977, but did not require modifications to power plants already in service. Neither company has yet responded to the suit, according to the CP. Mitsubishi has acknowledged the MU-2 poses additional challenges to a pilot unfamiliar with the aircraft's idiosyncrasies and supports requiring pilots to earn a type rating for the aircraft. That's something the FAA and other regulatory agencies have so far stopped short of doing. Lockheed Martin Tuesday unveiled its F-35B Lightning II, the first fighter to combine stealth with short takeoff vertical landing capability and supersonic speed to customers from the U.S. Marine Corps, Britain's Royal Navy and Royal Air Force, and the Italian Air Force and Navy. At the ceremony in Lockheed Martin's Fort Worth, Texas assembly plant, Marine Corps Commandant General James Conway called the plane's flexibility amazing. Quote, "This generational leap in technology will enable us to operate a fleet of fighter attack aircraft from the decks of ships, existing runways, or from unimproved surfaces at austere bases. We find that capability extremely valuable," unquote. The Lockheed Martin X-35B successfully demonstrated the shaft-driven lift fan propulsion system in 2001, becoming the only aircraft in history to execute a short takeoff, level supersonic dash, and vertical landing in a single flight. Two high-profile, low-cost airlines, which started up this year, are out with their first quarterly reports, and they're ugly. Virgin America posted a loss of $35 million for the 3 months ending September 30th. Skybus lost $16 million in that same period. Both airlines say they expected losses at startup, but analysts aren't sure they expected losses this big. Airline analyst Henry Hartevelt told the San Francisco Chronicle, "Anyone who looks at the Virgin report and says the airline is failing is wrong." But then he adds, quote, "But I wonder if they are succeeding to the degree they anticipated," unquote. Regarding Skybus's loss, former United Airlines pricing analyst Joseph Schweiderman wasn't as charitable. He told the Associated Press, quote, "The traffic growth has been quite impressive, but their costs may not allow selling so many seats at nominal prices," unquote. As ANN has reported, Ultra No Frills Skybus offers seats as low as $10 on each of its flights, has flight attendants hawking impulse buy items during the flights, sells all of its tickets online, and charges to check baggage. Analyst Mike Boyd said of Skybus, quote, "This is just not a very good plan, but that doesn't mean they can't turn it around by scrapping the model," unquote. Charter operator Champion Air recently warned that its entire revenue stream will be lost when two contracts expire between now and August 2008, and without a cash infusion to update its fleet of fuel-hungry 727s, it may have to cease operation. The company's dire straits have prompted 40% of its pilots to quit during 2007. Now, some of those have been replaced, but even executives have been jumping ship. To stem the tide of turnover, Champion unilaterally offered two incentive plans which reward pilots who stay with the airline. Now, the Airline Pilots Association is suing Champion, saying those offers circumvent federal statutes governing the bargaining process. Pilots at Champion have been without a contract since 2005. Still ahead, NASA scores a breakthrough in the fuel sensor mystery. A 14-year-old girl on a cruise ship has an Air Force medevac adventure. And Robert Pond has gone west. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, December 20th, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. ANN has learned that a former naval aviator who founded the Palm Springs Air Museum to honor World War II airmen has died. Robert Pond said he told a Navy recruiter he'd join the Army if they didn't admit him to the Navy Air Corps program in 1942. After the war, he graduated from the University of Minnesota and bought a Cessna 180. That was in 1948. Over the years, he built collections of both warbirds and vintage cars. In 1996, he moved with his wife and his collections to California and opened the Palm Springs Air Museum. That facility gets 100,000 visitors a year. He stepped down in 2005 and was named Chairman Emeritus by the museum's board. His secretary says Robert Pond suffered a fatal brain hemorrhage and died at Desert Regional Medical Center last Friday. The Palm Springs Desert Sun reports he survived by his wife, Jo Rose Pond, four kids, three grandsons, and two great-grandkids. And, may we add, generations of grateful Americans. NASA believes its testing has found the source of a problem with low-fuel detection sensors on the shuttle Atlantis, and the news is good. The sensors, which allow an automatic shutdown of the engines if fuel runs low, must function or the shuttle is at risk of a catastrophic failure. During a test filling of the shuttle's external tank with supercooled liquid hydrogen on Tuesday, engineers found the problem to be not the sensors themselves, but a feed-through connector where the wiring harness runs through a bulkhead. All the agency will say about its timetable now, though, is that the earliest the shuttle will launch is now January 10th. A 14-year-old girl on a cruise with her family Saturday has come away with a story she'll tell for years. When the girl reported abdominal pain, staff aboard the Bermuda-registered cruise ship Dawn Princess suspected a ruptured appendix, knew they couldn't handle it on board, and put out a distress call. At the time, the Bermuda-flagged cruise ship was in the Pacific off the coast of Baja California. The result was a response and a medevac run by two HH-60H helicopters to bring the girl to the aircraft carrier USS Ronald Reagan, which was 550 miles away from the Dawn Princess when it got the call. The Reagan's ship surgeon successfully completed the required operation. Let's see, missed a couple of days of the rock wall and endless buffets, but got a basket lift and a ride in a Sikorsky. All in all, an unprecedented vacation value. And finally, Reuters reports that last Sunday, a helicopter carrying Santa Claus was shot down over a Rio de Janeiro slum known as a drug haven. Tell the kids not to worry, it wasn't the real Santa, just one of his helpers wearing the red suit. Police in the region often stay out of Rio's slums, or they go en masse with armored vehicles and helicopters. Officials figure the helicopter was mistaken for a police aircraft, drawing the gunfire. The helicopter made an emergency landing, but nobody was hurt. Santa even went back later to that poor area by car to deliver the gifts. Brazilian officials blame mistaken identity, but maybe they shot him down on purpose. After all, if you're a drug trafficker, you might figure it's just an undercover agent. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Danny Mortensen of Airline Ground Schools to tell us about the job of an aircraft dispatcher. And if you haven't done so yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.